Well, that's Friday night at 7 o'clock. That'll be right here. This week, Doug was supposed to speak, but he got called to Buffalo because of the snow and all that stuff, and so he wasn't able to be here this morning. And so, you get to hear me again. Isn't that wonderful? So hopefully, oh good, somebody thinks it's wonderful. Next week, hopefully Doug will be able to take care of that next week. The last Friday of the month, we're going to have a time of music here. Music, fellowship, worship. I don't even know what it's going to look like. I'm just trusting the Lord with it. I know there's a lot of musicians out there that say, hey, when are we going to get together and play? And I say, hey, you know what? How about we plan a time and do that? And so we're planning the last Friday of the month, I believe it's the 30th, that we're going to do that. I don't know what we're going to have. We might have drums all over the place. We might have pianos all over the place. We might have electric guitars. We might have, I have no idea. All I know is people want to get together and worship the Lord with their instruments and with their hearts. And so that's going to be a good time. And you're all welcome to that too. If nothing else, just to come and see how chaotic it could be. I don't know. It should be a lot of fun though. Also, on the 18th, which is that next week, the Pregnancy Care Center will be here dropping off baby bottles for us to refill again. Love that ministry. Absolutely love that ministry. People get saved there. Babies come to life there. Moms who are abortion-minded get their hearts turned around. They fall in love with their children and have them babies. And in the process of all that, they learn who Jesus is and fall in love with Jesus and change their lives. And isn't it wonderful? It's a great ministry, and I love being a part of that. And so they'll be here handing out baby bottles next week for us to fill up. Also, one last thing. That's Jesus. She recognized him, did she? Well, there he is. Okay. This little bulletin. See how my wife does that? Pay attention, man. You see how gracious I'm being, and I'm obeying, and I'm. Thank you, dear, for the reminder. There are copies of this bulletin on the back table. The only thing that is not on here, if you want one, just go ahead and take one. The only thing not on here is it has come to my attention that the first Sunday of next month, which is coming up, we're going to have a fellowship dinner immediately following the service. It's just a dish to pass. I know a lot of people enjoy doing that. We get together and just sit down and have a meal together and fellowship, and it's a wonderful thing. And many of the dishes to pass are very, very good, and so we look forward to having some more of that. Enjoy that time with you all. Amen. We sang a song this morning. I'm just going to share a little something. My wife and I went to a little prophetic conference yesterday, and wow, what an eye-opener. You get around people that really dig and really study and really pray and have visions and dreams, and God reveals things, and they, excuse me? The kids? I don't know if we have any. Do we have anybody to take the kids? We do. Awesome. Children, would you like to go downstairs today? Excuse me? Oh, yeah. When I'm in the zone, I'm like. Children, would you like to go downstairs? Awesome. Thank you. Want to give it a try? It's up to you. Atta girl. You're going to love it. Yesterday, again, my wife and I went to a little bit of a prophetic conference. It was an all-day event, and they had material that just was mind-blowing. I mean, it's one of those things, it's like, who looks this stuff up, you know? But when you look at it and you see the reality of where we are in the timeline of God's kingdom, I mean, it was like a revelation to me just to come to grips with the understanding that we are the end times church. Think about that for a minute. I mean, do you really put into perspective who you are, where you are in God's timeline? We are the end times church. Which should tell us something about what God wants us to do, right? He wants us to bring in the final harvest. It's our responsibility to reach the lost souls in this last generation. How do I know that this is the last generation? Because the Bible told us that when Israel became a nation, that generation would not pass away until the Lord returned. Wow. That's us. Israel became a nation. And the numbers are amazing if you look at it. The guy that did the speaking showed us a timeline of things and the number of years from the time that Abraham received the blessing and his son coming into being is the same exact numbers of years. That number of years to the time of Christ's death until the number of years from Christ's death until now when Israel became a nation, the same exact number of years. Now, you're thinking, oh, what's that got to do with anything? I can't explain it all. All I know is when I saw the numbers and I saw, you know, patterns of things and things in history, it's like, wow, that is amazing. Looking at the years of Jubilee and all of what that entails. By the way, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you got money in the stock market, it might be a good idea to get it out of there before September. Just saying. I don't want to get off on these kind of crazy, weird things, but there's something about the festival that has to do with the Jews. In every 7 years, the stock market has crashed. You can go back and look in history, and you will see a pattern. Go back 7 years, you'll see a crash. Go back 7 years prior to that, you'll see a crash. Is it going to crash again this year? Well, if the pattern follows and it seems to follow God's calendar, there's a good chance it's going to crash. I'm not a prophet, but I saw the numbers, and I'm like, huh, I might have to really start paying attention to this stuff. While we're singing a song this morning, there's a line in this one song, "Out of the ashes we rise." I learned some things yesterday about a phoenix. You know what a phoenix is? It's a bird. And actually, I don't even know if it's a real bird. Is it a real bird? Or is it a fictitious bird? It's a fictitious bird that grows to its maturity and then allows itself to be burned. And then after it burns, later on it rises up out of the ashes. And what that really is a satanic symbol of the Antichrist. I didn't know this. I'm getting all this education yesterday about the phoenix. And my wife and I are looking at each other like, are you kidding me? My son just moved to a place down in Pennsylvania called Phoenixville. In Phoenixville, they have an annual festival where they build this giant phoenix out of wood. Look it up online. They build this giant phoenix out of wood every year. It's 30 or 40 or 60 feet tall, and every year they burn it. Isn't that interesting? And so it burned down. Somebody burned it down the night before the festival was supposed to take place. They had this big festival, and this year somebody sabotaged it the night before they burned the thing down. Well, the next day, crews show up and rebuild it. And so my wife says to me, I wonder if that was a Christian that knew what that was all about, because it's really a symbol of the Antichrist, and it's a satanic ritual thing. People don't even know what they're doing, but they're just doing it because, oh, this is a great party. Well, no, there's a whole lot more behind it. And my wife says, well, I wonder if a Christian knows all about that and burned it down the night before just to ruin their parade. But then we learned that what phoenix, what it does is it burns itself and then it rises from the ashes. Well, I wonder if somebody knows that part of the satanic story and burned it down intentionally the night before because the next day it was back, risen out of the ashes. I'm telling you, folks, there's some really interesting things going on. My wife and I are looking at each other, and we're like, Dallas lives in Phoenixville, goes to school in Exton, can't find a job anywhere. He has tried, and he has tried, he has tried. He's had he had one he thought was, he was all lined up, all was great, and then that didn't happen, whatever. And just the strangest thing. And we're thinking, you know what, that might be a spiritual battle going on down there, living in that Phoenixville with that there satanic thing going on. The devil does not want Christians to thrive. He does not want believers to move forward in their lives, right? And so we're going to, you know, we'll be praying about that. I'm going to ask you to be praying about that, believing, because he's got rent to pay. He's got gas and food and bills and stuff, and man, we can't pay that. He needs an intervention from God. I'm going to pray against that phoenix, that lion devil. Anyway, I don't want to get off on all that. I don't want to scare you on a bunch of weird things, because there's really nothing to be scared about. One of the things that in this whole prophetic conference, they were talking about, you know, the market, how, you know, how sometimes it's a bull's market, sometimes it's a bear market, independent on, independent, amen. She's so excited about it. Independent on where your money is and how you've invested, sometimes the bull market is good, sometimes the bear market is good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's not. But the point of the whole thing was, we have nothing to worry about as believers in God, because it's always the lion's market. Amen. It's God's economy. We might think we have something to do with the economy, but guess what? God owns it all. Yes, we're to be wise stewards of His funds, of His money. Yes, brother, you want to? Okay. I can't remember what it was, but go ahead. Oh, that's right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God's economy. It's God's economy. Your health, who's it belong to? Does it belong to you, or does it belong to God? It's God's. Do we trust Him? Do we trust Him with our money? Do we trust Him with our bodies? Do we trust Him with our children? I was in the prison the other night. Mike and I go to the prison. We're in there, and I'm talking to different ones about how to trust God with your children. You know, there's parents that are sitting in jails. I had one gentleman, I asked him, he said he's getting out real soon. I said, well, where are you going to go? He goes, I'm going home. I got a wife and kids. I'm like, oh. That is so awesome. He's hungry to go home and be with his family. But it's all God's. Now, inspired by the verse that the Lord gave me this year, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, I'm going to cover that again a little bit, and I just know that God's got stuff. This isn't just for me. I believe this verse is for the church. I'm going to go through the book, the chapter of 1 Peter, because there's some things in there that are very important. I don't have any notes this morning. I'm just going to use God's words as my notes as we go through this. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you, Holy Spirit, would come and fill this place, speak to our hearts, and change our lives. God, I pray that when we leave this place today, we'll be different than when we came in. We'll be more in tune with you, more on fire for you. God, just have your way as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The speaker yesterday was talking about a dream that he had had. And in that dream, he just saw flaming torches. Flaming torches running all around the world. And he thought, at first, he thought that, you know, that was a bad thing. And he prayed about it, and he pondered about it, and he sought the Lord about it, and God said, no, those flaming torches are the children of God set on fire with the Holy Spirit spreading the gospel around the world. We need to be flaming torches. We need to be, especially in this last day, we need to be so on fire for God that when people are around us, they know, hey, there's something about that one. They should be able to see that we have a love and a desire for God. They should be able to hear our words calling them to Jesus Christ. They should know that we are believers by what? Our love, by our words, by our deeds, by the passion and the fire that we have inside of us to burn for Jesus Christ. God wants us to be flaming torches. 1 Peter starts out like this. It says, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Two pilgrims. Some Bibles say to the strangers. Some Bibles say to the elect. Says who? Special messengers. This is a letter to you and I, okay? He's talking about the people of the dispersion, the people that were pushed out of Jerusalem. Once they started preaching the gospel, they started getting some persecution. And what happened when persecution came is they started to go to other cities, perhaps to save their own lives. But God had a purpose and a plan in it that they would go to other places and spread the gospel. And so Peter starts to write a letter to them. These are the flaming torches of that day. How many know the persecution, if the church responds properly to persecution, the gospel gets spread? I understand that's what's taking place right now over in Iraq and in Syria. People are giving their lives to the Lord because they're seeing the wickedness and the evil of these people who are following this other God, and they're murdering and they're plundering and they're doing terrible atrocities to even their own people. But the church is there. There's believers there. And they're showing them love. And they're showing them hope. And they're showing them help. And people are turning to the Lord. Praise God. I heard a statistic this week that in China, there are now, for the first time ever, there are more Christians in China than there are communist believers. I think that's awesome. I hope that's true. It's just something, you know, you can always believe everything you hear, but sounds good to me. I'd be praying for that. And so Peter's writing a letter to the elect according, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I have to stop there and really look at verse 2. Talking to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God the Father knew that He was going to call you and me. He knew that you were going to be here today. He knew that you were going to live on the earth in these last days period, in this particular time. He knew that. And He's calling you. He calls you, and understand this, don't think you're just a nobody. You are the elect. You know, Satan wants every single one of us to think, ah, you're no good, you're nobody, you don't know anything. You're not the leader of anything. You're not the worshiper. You're not the person playing the instrument. You're not the person that unlocks the door. Nobody's given you any authority. Nobody's given you anything to do. Well, let me tell you something. If I'd be more than happy to give you a job. If you're hungry to work, let me know. But the devil wants us to think that we're not worth anything. God calls you an elect. He knew that you were going to be here. He chose for you to be here at this time. Think about that for a moment. In God's sovereignty and His power and His plan and His purpose, He said, you know what? I want Dave Schell on the earth in 2015. And I could have called out any one of your names. God wants each and every one of us here for a reason and a purpose. He planned it from before the world began. Who's going to be on the earth in the last time, in the last days? Who's going to help in the end times harvest? I think I'll put Lloyd there. I'll put Sandy there. Hallelujah. I love Lloyd. Sits right in the front pew. Just can't get enough. I love everyone. I love even Louie sitting in the back pew. Can't get enough. Louis, God wanted you on this earth at this particular period of time. You're elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification of the Spirit. What does that mean? Is there anybody here that is sanctified? If you're in Jesus Christ, you are. That's another thing the devil would like us to believe. You're dirty. You're filthy. You're a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner. Well, I was. Until I asked Jesus to forgive me, then I became sanctified. And you became sanctified. Not by anything that you did or anything that I did, but by what He did. Sanctified by the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. For obedience, we are sanctified for a reason. For obedience. Okay? I talked about this last week. Why can't children just do what they're told? Wow. Life would be so much easier. And God stands up there talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all the angels and the beasts and the elders and all those up in heaven. And He looks around. He says, why can't the children of God just be obedient? Why can't they just do what they're told? Well, He sanctified us by His Spirit in order that we would be obedient. How many know you can't be obedient to the Lord if you're not sanctified by His Spirit? You're going to do the wrong thing. We struggle doing the right thing even with God's Spirit. And so He sanctified us by His Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He sprinkled His blood. Oh my gosh. Just the idea that He, before the world began, elected me, called me, planned for me to have the blood of Christ sprinkled on my life, making me pure and holy before Him. Isn't that awesome? Wow. If you really think about what God has done for us, it should have an impact on our lives. It should cause us to act a little differently, live a little differently, speak a little differently. Which brings me to my first point. It's time to get serious with God. It is time to get serious with God. God doesn't want a church. He doesn't want an army that all it does is whatever it wants to do, that it never listens, never obeys, never gets in line, never takes up its arms, never spends time preparing. He doesn't want that mess. Amen. If I don't pick these up, I'm going to slip and fall. You guys are going to laugh at me. It's time, church, that we get serious with God. Each and every one of us as individuals and each and every one of us together collectively preparing for battle, getting on our knees in prayer, getting in His Word in study, paying attention to what's going on around us. That's one of the things that, you know, about these prophetic people, sometimes you think they're really weird and out there. It's like, oh boy. But the truth of it is a lot of times those prophetic people, you think they might be out there, but they're digging. They're searching for answers. God will give them a dream or a vision, and it's like, oh, that wasn't just a dream or a vision. That was an intervention of God, and I better get some more understanding about what that's about. And so they spend time fasting and praying, studying God's Word, looking what He's done through history, looking what's going on around in the world right now, and trying to see how it all lines up. It's time to get serious with God. We have been sanctified by His Spirit for the purpose of obeying Him, because He's poured out His blood. How did I know you were going to have something to say today? I love it. Would you come up here? Would you come up here? Could I have the elders, please? Some of you ladies. I knew. I've been paying attention. I see what's going on in your country. I see the response. You know, as I spoke those words just now, I realized that that's not just me speaking those words. That's God, okay? I don't profess to be a prophet, but I believe those are words from God. I see your country. I know what's going on. Sister, I saw the news as well, and I saw the thousands of people standing up for righteousness, standing up for what is right. Not going to allow the evil in this world to ruin their lives, to take over and push them down. Father, we pray right now for France. We pray for Laura's family, for her friends, her neighbors, her homeland where she comes from. Her heart is broken, God, to see on the news and to even understand that the atrocities are even worse than what we know. I pray for Laura right now, God, that you'll put courage and strength in her heart, that you'll put love, Lord, in her heart. God, that you'll help her to see that your hand is much greater than what the enemy has tried to do in that country. I pray for France that they will stand up and they will call on the name of Jesus Christ to be their strength, to be their hope and their help, and to drive out the enemy that would wish to destroy them. Father, I pray for Laura's family and friends and those that she knows personally, just for their personal safety. God, that you will be with them, that you'll give them courage, and God, that you'll draw each and every one of them to you to find the strength that they need to carry on. Do not let the countries of this world be overtaken by this evil, not before its time. We know, God, that there is a time coming when great and terrible things are going to happen on the earth, but now is not the time. And the enemy would like to, he's anxious, he wants to get out there, he wants to be the one in charge, he wants to be the ruler of the world. Now is not the time. And so, Father, I pray for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forward with power and strength. I pray that the forces of evil would be beat back until that time, God, when you allow them to have their reign for a season. But we know that now is not the time. And so God, give us the grace. Give us the mercy. And Lord, empower us with the truth of your word, with the strength of your Spirit to move forward with our lives, not broken, not beat down, but standing tall and strong on the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, I just pray a healing in Laura's heart today. And God, just a strengthening of her soul. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. You know, there are churches out there that would say, oh, that was an interruption. And I'm here to tell you, it is never an interruption when somebody who is hurting stands up and calls out the name of Jesus and needs the church to come around. That's how it's supposed to work. Amen. Continue praying for Laura. Continue praying for her family and praying for her country. It is a worldwide issue. Sister, we win. We win. Amen. It's time to get serious with God, church. Amen. My wife said God was serious. He laid down his life for us. Wow. I got to get through this. He says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. A living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead gives us a living hope. If he stayed in the grave, we would have no hope. Maybe we would be acting out violently like all these that are tearing up the world right now because they have no hope in their God. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept by what? Kept by your own doing? Kept by your own strength? Kept by your own thinking? And kept by your own understanding? No. Kept by the power of God through faith. Is faith important? It's very important. If we will stand and walk in faith, we will understand that it is His power that keeps us. It's important to remain in faith. The moment that you start saying, oh, you know what, maybe He's not God. You start doubting God, and guess what? You're going to lose all hope. You're going to lose courage. You're going to lose strength. But it's by His power, through faith, for salvation, ready to be revealed when? In the last time. When are we? What did I just say? We're in the last time. Things are being revealed right now. You know, evil can only hide for so long. It knows that its time is coming. Yesterday, in this whole prophetic thing, there was a whole section about time. There are appointed times for things to happen. Right now is the appointed time for the church to stand up and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because another appointed time is coming when that's not going to happen. There's appointed time coming when Satan is going to be let loose on the earth for a season. And he's going to rule and reign from the temple. By the way, the temple is ready to be built. They are ready to build it. And some are saying, well, they can't build it until they knock down the mosque that's there. No, they're going to build it right next to that mosque. It's amazing what's going on in our time. It says, in this you greatly rejoice. In what we greatly rejoice? That's verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice. We greatly rejoice in what it said just before that. Salvation through faith in the power of the Spirit of God. Faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 6, continuing on. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Yes? For a little while, you have been grieved by various trials. And verse 7 tells us why. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory and at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why do we go through these trials that grieve us? To test us. To find out if we truly are going to stand on Jesus Christ. Everybody's being tested. My wife and I are being tested. My son's being tested. People all around the world are being tested. Lord, that's what's going on right now. You're being tested. What I like to tell people, when you don't know what to do anything. Don't change anything. Get on your face and pray. Fast. Spend time with God. Seek His face. Seek His will. Because a lot of times when we don't know what to do, we say, oh, well, I'll just try this, or I'll try that, or I'll run here, or I'll run there. We go to and fro, and God's just standing there saying, just wait. Be still and know that I am God. And sometimes, you know, it's just a matter of just standing there. And I'm in a situation right now where I can't, in my own strength, I can do nothing about it. And so I'm like, you know what, God? I'm just going to stand here. I'm going to put my faith and trust in You that this is going to be taken care of. And I'm going to just watch. I'm going to watch Him work. Yes? That's interesting. That is an interesting point. That perhaps we are just, the whole world is experiencing what Israel's been going through all along. You know, this is one of the things that I don't think the devil understands, but I find it to be one of the beautiful things about the church. When trouble comes, the devil likes to think, oh no, they're going to run scared now because I did this. But what happens is the exact opposite. The church gathers together. And all of a sudden, faith arises. And an army of God comes forth. Strength comes. Hope comes. Resolve comes. People will start beginning. You know what? The more the evil is unleashed on the earth, the more people are going to stand up and say, hey, you know what? I serve Jesus Christ. And He's calling you too. There's a lot in here, a lot in here. Let me just go to the verse that God gave me this year, verse 16. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. If there was ever a time for the church to be holy, it is now. Be holy, for I am holy. If there was ever a time for us to have an understanding of what being holy is, it is now. Being holy is being blameless and without sin. Being holy is being righteous in everything, separated from the things of this world. Now is a time for us to be holy. And the only way that we can possibly do that is through Jesus Christ. Which brings me to my second point. Are you ready? It's time to get serious with God. Two powerful points there. It's time to get serious with God, church. We can't play around anymore. This is real stuff. People are being killed. I came to the understanding that the cop that was killed, now this is an interesting thing. I believe France has they don't allow people to bear arms, do they? To the point that the cop that showed up on a bicycle with a billy club. He didn't even have a gun. They took the guns away from the people, and they took the guns away from even the police department. Those who stand up for the Second Amendment? Absolutely. But that guy was a Muslim. That cop that they murdered just blatantly walked up and killed him. He was a Muslim. They killed their own. If you think differently than them, they killed their own. You think it is time to get serious with God. For the sake of the lost. We don't know how many others are going to be able to be murdered in this world. But I know this, if we can give the gospel of Jesus Christ and get the word out there that he is our Savior, it won't matter if they get killed. It's a problem for this Muslim guy to get killed. He doesn't know Jesus. It's a problem for Buddhists to get killed. It's a problem for Hindus to get killed. It's a problem for anybody who doesn't know Jesus to get killed. It's a problem. It's our problem. Because we're the ones that are supposed to be spreading the gospel and telling them about Jesus. It's time that we're serious with God. Be holy, for I am holy. For us to do anything for the Lord, we have to do it the way he wants us to do it. Right? We can try it this way and we can try it that way, but it's not going to work. You can know the truth. You can be able to articulate it in words and syllables and sentences that people can understand, telling others about Jesus Christ. But if you are not living holy and they know that, guess what? They're not going to pay any attention to you. You know what I think was going on in the church in the last several years? The fact that instead of having churches that are filling up, you see churches that are emptying out. Because people don't want to get serious with God. People don't want to be holy. Oh, there's too much fun to be had out there. For a season. Let me tell you something. I didn't get saved till I was 18, which means I experienced a lot of that fun. If it's a sin that's doable, I did it. Anybody else do that? So I'm not the only one. Yeah. But I can tell you this. I have never had more joy in my life and serving the Lord. The things of God are way more exciting, way more much fun. Because it's a different fun. It's not just a temporal thing. It's a lifelong, lasting joy. When you tell somebody about Jesus Christ and they receive him, there's a reason why the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice when one lost soul comes to the Lord. There ain't nothing greater than that the joy of the Lord when you're doing what he's called you to do. It's time for us to be serious with God. Verse 17 in 1 Peter there, if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. God without partiality judges. He knows what you and I are doing. He knows if we're even trying to be holy. He knows. It says in verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He knows. He, as my wife pointed out a minute ago, he was very serious about us, and we need to get very serious about him. Being holy as he is holy. Verse 20, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God. Jesus Christ, it was ordained for him to be crucified before the world began, in order that it would be revealed to us at this time that he is the Savior, that he died for our sin. He loved us so much. He was that serious about us. Who raised him from the dead, gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Where's your faith and hope? Is it in the U.S. United States government? If it is, you're in trouble. Is your hope in the bank? In the stock market? In the Federal Reserve? In the gold that they claim is in the Federal Reserve? Is it in any other country, any other king, any other ruler? If that's where your hope is, there's no hope. It's got to be in Jesus Christ, in him crucified. Verse 22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, again, it's through the Spirit. If we do anything right, it's because of the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. We need to be relying upon that. We need to be trusting God, calling upon him for the strength and the power through his Spirit to do what he's called us to do. Obeying the truth, it said there. Sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So what are we supposed to lay aside? Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Now how can we do that? You know, we really need to pay attention to the things we say and do. You know that? We need to pay attention about the spirit that we do things in. Are we doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we doing it by just whatever's inside of us? Are we doing it by an evil spirit? These people that think that they're going around, you know, trying to conquer the world with their ideology, they're being driven by an evil spirit and they don't even know it. I'm grateful that God lets us know that he put his spirit in it. He lets us know what his spirit wants to do. And he empowers us by that same spirit to accomplish his will. He lets us know it. It's not a secret. Because he's got good things planned for us. I've got one more point. Anybody got a guess what it might be? Point number 3. It's time to be serious with God. Spent a lot of time on this PowerPoint today. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is awesome in power. Yes, Andy. By the way, I love the interaction this morning. Thank you. Amen. She's taken upon herself the burden for Europe, for the continent. And so let's join her in that. And you know, the truth of it is, in a lot of times, the way Europe goes, that's the way the U.S. ends up going. And so if we can stop it there, amen, maybe it won't be quite so bad here. But trust me, understand, there are people here right now that can do the same thing in this country. What they're waiting for, the timing, who knows? But we need to be praying. Yeah, they already are. There was a woman that was beheaded in an office building. There was at Fort Hood, that guy that shot up the place down there. There's another military base where stuff happened. There's a guy attacked some cops at the world in New York City at the subway station with an axe. And they're all doing it under the same premise. It's that same evil spirit, yeah. And so, well, yeah, I mean, that, oh my gosh, if you'd have heard the stuff I heard about the Twin Towers yesterday, you'd be like, wow. They visited there. There's some wild stories about the Twin Towers. People who called in sick that day and then watched it fall from their apartments. I mean, just amazing things. But anyway, I mean, just there's other, just wow, there's stuff. But I think it's time to get serious with God. I still have my alarm set at 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the evening. To prayer. At 10 o'clock, let's, as a church, in solidarity, be praying for the power of the Spirit of God to take over this land, to protect us, to, you know what, I believe, you know, there's, the Bible talks about two things happening. It talks about a falling away, but it also talks about an end times harvest. The last day's harvest. Okay, now, it's time to get serious with God. When it talks about falling away, who's it talking about? It's talking about us. And that's why I think that perhaps that the seats aren't filled. They used to be filled. Where did the people go? We're seeing the falling away. But you know what? I'm getting excited because I believe there's going to be a last day's harvest. But that is not going to happen if the church doesn't get serious with God. Doing our part, being holy because He is holy, calling upon His name, doing our part in spreading the gospel. What's your part? Well, at 10 o'clock, you can be praying about that. If you don't know what your part is, understand there is a part for you. And if you don't know what it is, let's pray about that. Come and see me. You know, we struggle here because I praise God that Kim took the children downstairs today with Doug and others. But we struggle here with children's ministry. You know why? Because we don't have people that feel like they're called to minister to those children, to teach them about Jesus. It is so easy. We don't have a youth group here. You know why? Because we don't have people who feel like they've been called to minister to young people, to the youth, to teenagers. You know why I do what I do? This is because one day I woke up and said, hey, gee, I think I'm going to pastor a church. Believe me, it wasn't that. You know, I started years ago. I felt a call in my heart and the desire that God put in there for me to lead worship before I knew how to play the instrument. I dabbled with the thing, but I didn't know how to put chords together. I didn't know how to strum and sing at the same time, but I felt a call in my heart, and you said, you know what? I'm going to answer that call. And I got a guitar. I learned how to play it, and I just kept following and trusting God and praying, and he helped me. And guess what? Before I knew it, I was leading worship. Ever since I got saved, I'd read in the Bible about the Old Testament prophets, about the Old Testament leaders, and I'd read in the New Testament about the apostles. And in my heart, God planted something in there. He said, and I had this desire, you know what? If I'm going to be a Bible character, I want to be one of those guys. He put a desire in my heart, a call in my heart to be the one to tell others about Jesus. And all I did was I answered the call. He equipped me. He empowered me. I do this because he called me to do this. I don't think I'm anything different than any of the rest of you. What's God putting in your heart? It's time to get serious about that. If you feel that, you know what, hey, you know what, I got this little bit of a desire to whatever for God, but I don't know how to go about that. Come, let's talk about that, because we'll pray about that. We'll teach you about that. Some might say, well, I can't work with the children because I've never been trained with the children. Well, come, if that's your desire, we'll train you. We'll figure it out. Spitting all over the place. Amen. I'm running late. Church, what's the point today? It's time to get serious with God. Let's stand up. You know what? Let's not wait for 10 o'clock tonight. Let's start right now. Praying for the nations. Praying that this evil that is rising up in the world would be pushed back until the time that is allotted for it to be unleashed. It is not time yet. You read in your Bibles and it talks about four horses at the four corners of the earth. Now, how that comes into being, I don't know, because the earth is round, but the Bible says there's four corners and there's horses, and they're being held back. But there's a time coming when they're going to be unleashed. And we need to get serious with God, because we don't want to be here when they get unleashed, and we don't want anybody else to be here when they get unleashed. Let's get serious with God, church. Let's spend a few moments around this altar praying for the nations to accept Jesus Christ and to follow him and him alone. Let's get serious with God. Let's spend a few moments around this altar asking God to reveal to us what it is he would have us to do, the call that he has put on our lives. Let's get serious with God. Spend a few moments around this altar. If we need to repent of sin, then just repent of it. If we need more of his power in our lives, then ask God for more of his power in your life. But let's get serious with God, church. Oh, Jesus. Lord, you have called us to be holy because you are holy. In our flesh, we are not able to do it. So, Father, I pray you would send the Holy Spirit right now to fill us, to purge us of all unrighteousness, fill our hearts with the love of God, the life, the courage and the strength to be able to walk for you, to live righteously for you. Lord, we want to be serious with you. We don't want to play games anymore. We understand the day, the time, the hour that we are in. God, we need wisdom from you. I pray for signs and wonders. I pray, God, for dreams and visions.
I pray for prophetic words to be poured out upon your church. I pray for the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in every way, that the fruits of the Spirit would be recognized in the church. Oh, if we follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we pray for the nations. Lord, that when the enemy rises up against them, that the enemy would fall into his own traps. God, I pray for persecuted people all around the world, that a holy and divine protection would fall upon them. God, that you would turn the hearts of men, women, children away from idols. You cause them to serve you and you alone. I pray a protection, God, for the watchmen, for those that are running, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for those that are receiving and those that are devoting their hearts and their lives to you. I pray, God, that you watch over them. Guard them in every way. We join together right now, a mighty force, against the powers and the principalities of darkness, evil in high places. We stand against you in the name of Jesus Christ, which is a name above all names. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Father, I pray for a church that would get serious about you. I pray for a church, Lord God, that we become holy because you are holy. I pray for a people, oh God, that would have the power of your Spirit to overcome the sin in our own lives and also be able to move in the power and the Spirit of God, winning lost souls, convincing men to turn their hearts and their lives to you. I pray for a church, God, that is so serious for you. God, that we couldn't miss it. Let us not have fear. Let us have faith. Let us not be discouraged, but God, let us be encouraged. Let us not be weak, but God, make us strong. Let us not be poor and impoverished, oh God, but provide our every resource and need. Oh God, have your way in our hearts and our lives as we get serious with you. Water, you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Sing it with me, church. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, Jesus. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you.
Our God is higher than any other. Our God is healer, His awesome power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who can stand against? If our God is for us, then who can ever stop us? If our God is with us, then who can stand again? Yes, our God is for us. No one could ever stop us. And yes, our God is with us. No one can stand against. Yes, our God is for us. No one could ever stop us. Yes, our God is with us. No one.
Father, show the world how great you are. God, show the world how strong you are. Show us how high you are, oh God. Show us that you are our healer. Show us that you are awesome in power. Show us, God, that there's none that can stop us. Show us, God, there's none can stand against us. Let the world know. The enemy thinks he's got a plot and a plan against us. But God, it is time that we get serious with you and we have purpose in our heart today to do just that, to be holy, for you are holy, to stand up for righteousness, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ and to walk in faith with strength and hope and help from on high. Yes, our God is for us. No one can stand against us. No one can stand against. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No one can stand against. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God, our God. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Before you leave today, just greet one another, encourage one another in the Lord. Remind each other that God is greater than even the worst of things as they are right now. Amen. Let's get serious about God, church. We'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock, continuing our Bible study. Wednesday night, celebrate recovery. Be blessed and love one another. In Jesus' name. Amen.